Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. Please be seated. That's a new song that you can hear. And it is in the In His Presence, Volume 12. Hallelujah. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Be glorified. How we can serve the God who gives us both the knife and the yam and the palm oil. Gives us the message, the music, the miracles. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. I was invited to preach somewhere yesterday. And while I was worshiping, man, the choir of that place was actually picking the songs. As I pick one, they will pick it up and sing it fluently, word for word. It was incredible. The earth has been filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. We have a very big task before us this morning. Today is the last Sunday of the month of October, and this subject is still there. Give the Lord the praise. And so I'll try as much as possible to see how we can wrap up the subject that we started on godly character, dealing specifically with love. And if I don't finish this bit today, there is no harm if it spills over into next month. Is there any harm? All right. So we are looking at toxic hate, and this will be the part three, what we did not finish last Sunday. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 15, it said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. We saw, and our objective was basically to understand the signs. Alright, so let's have a quick review of this subject. Understanding the manifestations of hate. Then understanding the toxicity or the poisonousness of hate. And then understanding our response to hate. So we began and we identified that love is the foundation for godly character, and that hate is foundation for ungodly character. We also saw that walking in love is walking with God. Because God is love, and walking with God is ending with God. On the contrary, walking in hate is walking with Satan. And walking with Satan is ending with Satan. We saw that attack on love was the foundation for the two earliest sins of mankind. That was the sin of Adam and Eve, and then that of Cain. And then we began to see that we live in a world that is filled with the plague of lovelessness, what we call the hate revolution, which we are still dealing with. Now, as I would say, that the poison of love, of hate rather, affects the person and the personality of the hateful. That the poison of hate also affects society at large, the environment, and then the poison of hate affects society at large, and then the poison of hate, if it is not managed, affects the victim. You that you are hated, it affects you because it just tries to change your personality. All of a sudden, you are no longer who you used to be because you've been so badly treated by people. It poisons you. And I'll be talking about what I call reactive bitterness later on. That comes from trying to respond to how hated you have been hated. And now, we saw the manifestations of hate, and I don't know if I have the time to go there now, but maybe I'll take two or three of them. How that the person who hates people maintains permanent focus on the victim of their hate. This person is their subject, is their topic. The toxic hate. And then the action of alignment with other perceived haters of their victim. If they know this person hates the person I hate, then they become their friends. Am I communicating at all? Alright, let me go, because I'm sure there are people who were not here last Sunday. Then the action of record keeping of the wrong deeds of their victim. They just keep the records. Right? And then we saw the action of celebrating and rejoicing in the misfortunes or the challenges of their victim. They rejoice in it. We saw all of that, and then we saw that the action of hate, they refer to their victim despisingly, disdainfully, disrespectfully. We saw that. And then we saw that the act of saying and doing things that deliberately cause pain. When people hate people, they do things that cause the people they hate pain. They just want to ensure you feel the pain. Right? Then we see that they decide to believe every terrible thing they hear about their hate victim without giving the people the opportunity even of fair hearing. They decide that. And then they exist with a permanent judgmental and critical spirit. They are permanently, nothing the person does is ever good. They are blinded with hate and bitterness. That's toxic hate. Then we saw that they possess an interest in hate. They are actually hate professionals. They join the bandwagon of hate to hate and attack people. They join that bandwagon. We saw that they also recruit co-haters into their agenda or project of hatred. I hate this man and I want you to hate him along with me. Right? They do that. And then we saw that they possess the inability to celebrate anything good in the victim or object of their hate. They also act, they possess the act of being permanently on the lookout for bad report. All they are looking out for is if they will hear something evil about the person they hate. And then the action of fabrication. They go to the extent of lying, false allegations against who they hate, just in their agenda of hatred. Does this sound familiar to anybody at all? I think it's better like that, concentrated. Then the action of withholding favor, opportunity or good from their victim. They hate the man and they know this thing is good for the person they withhold it. In fact, it is their right. They deny it. Then we have the tendency to allocate minimal worth or value. They don't see value in you. No matter how much the world or the people around you think you are valuable, they think you are nothing. That is hatred, toxic hate. They exist with a generosity of condemnation and a scarcity of commendation. They will condemn profusely, but they will commend scantily. They see a lot of things to condemn you for, but they never see anything to commend you for. Toxic haters. And then they do that. I didn't see that number 16. Yes, that's generosity. And then we move from there and we say that the only person that is qualified to judge others is the person who is perfect in every way. And these are facts that we should know about judging others. And then we also said that most people who sit as judge over others are confirmed hypocrites who have worse issues in their lives than what they are trying to judge in others, because God said, remove the log of wood, the timber wood in your eyes, before you can talk about the toothpick in the eye of the other person. And then we say that those who judge others without mercy will experience judgment without mercy, both in this world and in the world to come. And that will not be your portion. That was where we stopped last Sunday. So we are going to move forward now. And I think that our recap was necessary so that we can be on the same page. Now we are going to look at the toxicity. It's a subheading now. The toxicity or destructiveness of hate for the hater. For the person who hates. How toxic is it? What is the destructiveness of his hate to him? Number one is the frustration and disappointment of expectations. The hater will always be frustrated and will be disappointed. I have seen in scripture that God frustrates the expectations of the hater and opens the doors for the hated. It disappoints the expectations of haters. Especially when you are hating a covenant person. In Genesis 29 and in verse 31, the Bible says, when God saw that Leah was hated, Genesis 29:31. When God saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, He opened her womb, but Rachel remained barren. If you want my doors to open, hate me. If you want me to see more breakthroughs in life, hate me. Those who are hating you, consciously and unconsciously at the end of the day, turn around to help you. Because in the presence of God, the hated becomes a candidate for the help of God. He always frustrates their expectation. He said concerning the man that feareth the Lord, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Psalm 112. That was what God did. I declare for somebody here today, the Lord shall open a door for you. Whether it is in your office or wherever they are hating you, the Lord shall open the doors for you. If you believe that, say aloud, amen. In Exodus chapter 1 verse 12, the more they hated the Israelites, the more the Egyptians afflicted them, the more they grew and multiplied. The more they multiplied and grew, until Egypt was grieved. We want to finish these people and they are not finishable. Every male child, kill him. That was the decree. And yet the more they try to stop them, the more they try to frustrate them, to resist them, the more they multiplied. That is how God frustrates haters. That is how he frustrates their agenda. Do you understand what I'm talking about? He frustrates their agenda. Please don't be afraid of hatred. Don't be afraid of yourself being hated. Because if a man did not take you up, the man cannot bring you down. If a man did not create you, he cannot finish you. Is God speaking to anybody here? Say a louder amen. Hallelujah. Number two. Hatred destroys reason. So you call it. Number one is the frustration and disappointment of expectations. Number two is the destruction of reason and wisdom. Reason and wisdom is destroyed in the hater. He begins to act in unreasonable ways, having a mentality destroyed by animosity. The bosom of the fool is the resting place of bitterness, is the resting place of anger, is the resting place of wrath. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and in verse 9. Ecclesiastes 7 and in verse 9. He said, be not hasty in the spirit to be angry or to be bitter or to be hateful. For anger rested in the bosom of fools. You act in people who hate. Begin to act in very stupid and foolish ways. Because of the reason and wisdom destructive capacity or destruction capacity of bitterness. Two people hate each other. They have the same mother and the same father. They hate themselves to a point where maybe one organized a killer. And he killed the person he hated, the same mother, the same father, unknown to him, that loss was a loss to his mother. He himself doesn't consider himself a loss to his father, to his mother,
to his community, but his reason is destroyed because of hatred. This person and this person have the same parents. This one's name is John Mark. This one's name is Paul Mark. And then, okay, let them be JJ. John Mark, James Mark. James Mark is angry with John Mark. They are quarreling. He goes online to attack John Mark, his brother, online, in the face of the world. That is stupidity and insanity taken to the highest level. Unknown to him, it is the Mark name they are dragging and spoiling. But there is no reason, no sense, that I am not just attacking my brother, I am attacking my father. You understand how reason is this? They would do terrible things. Somebody said his wife misbehaved. He went in anger to go and look for another woman. He went and looked for the other woman and got HIV. Now this is real life. And brought it home. In anger against his wife, he went out and got infection. Brought it home. Those are the days when HIV, there was nothing they could do about it. I'm telling you, real life, this is almost 20-something years. Both of them are not alive. It is the destruction of sense. Bitter people become senseless. Toxic haters become stupid. As far as they are concerned, I have told you before that bitterness has led to madness. That is, people are so bitter until they lose their mind. Not just stupid now, but they just lost mind. I know of people who are mad today from bitterness. When you see them, they think they are normal, but they are mad. You know, most mad people don't think they are mad. They think that it is you that something is wrong with. Somebody said, if you went to the stream to bath, and you put your cloth, the village stream, and you put your cloth by the stream side, and while you are bathing, a madman comes and steals the cloth and is running excitedly, and you pursue him naked, the community will conclude that your madness just began. You are madder than the man. Do you understand what I say? That is what reactions and beat and all of these things do to you. You lose reason on the spot. So I can't pursue this man now. Let me just, maybe I should hide somewhere and send. I will find somebody that I will send to the house to bring me another cloth. That will never be your portion. That will never be your portion. People are so bitter until they begin to look ugly. I wonder where the camera is looking. It distorts the facial architecture, musculature. I mean, it takes more energy to frown. I mean, it's confirmed. More muscles to frown than to smile. No, I know how to frown, especially for the devil. Very well. Somebody say a loud amen. I need to rush because of time. Now, people, you will not lose your reason. It's the destruction of reason and wisdom. Number three is the condition of separation from God. toxic waste is toxicity, is that it separates people from God. Both in time and in eternity, people are separated from God. Now, Genesis chapter 3, verse 23 to 24. See what the original sin did to Adam and Eve. And I told you, Satan introduced hatred against God in their heart, bitterness. God knows that you, if you eat the fruit, God, there's something, God doesn't really like you. God doesn't really want the best from you. That was the seed Satan planted in the heart of Adam and Eve. God knows the day you eat the fruit, you will be like this. So God is hiding something from you. And they agreed to eat the poison of bitterness against God that Satan sowed. And this is the outcome. Therefore God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned everywhere to keep the way of the tree of life. He chased them from the garden. He did the same thing to Cain, who killed his brother. In Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 11 to verse 12. Genesis 3, 11 to verse 14. And he said, who told you that? Right, okay, that was Adam. Who told you that you are naked? Alright, sorry, Genesis chapter 4. He said, and now thou art cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When you till the ground, it shall henceforth not yield unto you her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from your face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And so look at that verse 14. You have driven me out of this, out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. Hatred pushes people away from the presence of God. Bitterness disconnects people from God. So they are disconnected from God in this world. They are disconnected from God in the world to come. No hater can make heaven. Quote me any day. He said, he that hated his brother is a murderer, and no murderer has eternal life in him. Hater, bitter man. Speak as much tongues as you want, but your heart is filled with hatred. While you are seated there, I'm sorry to mention that now, but that's what is coming to my mind. You are seated there, I'm in choir. I'm an usher. I'm protocol. I'm security. I'm pastor. I'm deacon. Ordinary seat position is making you bitter. He took my seat. You can't greet. What useless coming to church to be bitter? It's like going to the stream to be dirty. To the stream to be dirty. You know, at times we preach prophetically. So one woman told her husband something, say, did you go and tell the pastor about me? The other day I said, if they give you money, don't hold it back and divert it to another sin. It will affect your life and affect the life of your children. And I was talking to somebody direct. Literally around the vicinity. He said, did God tell you anything? He said, I know, you know what I did. So what I'm saying is prophetic. Don't let little tools, it took my, before I came, they moved my seat. And then you are not greeting person. You're not greeting usher. You carry Bible without greeting person. You are not greeting the person who they put in your seat or whatever happened. Who told you that your sitting position can determine your impartation? There are people, listen, somebody told me the other day, he said he prefers to sit in the gallery. He said he had had 3 encounters at the gallery. Encounter that shifted him into billions. Billions, not million, billions. I know that many of us, we are so eager and so just want to be very, very close and have eye contact with the preaching. But don't let that crave, which is a normal, natural crave, like the woman with the issue of blood wants to be close enough to touch. That is a possibility. But don't let that be taken to another level where it destroys the reason why you are in church. Or whether a place where you sit is a confirmation of your importance. Somebody say a loud amen. Please don't let anything separate you from your maker in this world and in the world to come. And let us move further as we race. How do you guard against the toxicity of hate? That is the worst. Guarding against the toxicity of hate, the worst toxin of hate. And that is called reactive bitterness. How do you guard against it? How do you guarding against the worst toxin of hate? The worst toxin, which is reactive bitterness. You understand what I mean? You are bitter from, you are reacting. You became bitter reacting to how you are hated. You are hated until you begin to react with bitterness. Until you are not who you used to be. And God help the man that marries a smiling wife and turns her to a shadow of herself. Everybody knew this girl as a joyful, excited person until she got married. Everybody knew this man as a generous, kind man until he got married. Don't do that. How do we guard against reactive, against the toxicity of hate, the worst toxin of hate, which is reactive bitterness? I'm going to rush through it. Number one, deliberately guard your heart against hate, bitterness. Against hate and bitterness, deliberately guard it. Just be the watch over your own heart. This point, I'll repeat it in the second service. Against Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, he said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. When you know that your heart is getting overwhelmed with bitterness, you just check it and say, Lord, I need help. Number two, avoid the eagerness to hear everything that is said about you. Avoid it. Being eager to hear what is said or done, avoid that eagerness. These are practical steps. Because if you hear everything that people say about you, you will be disappointed in many people. Because people you never believe could say things or do things about you will say things and do things and you will be shocked. In Ecclesiastes 7:21, also, can you read it with me? Also, take no heed unto all words that are spoken, in case you hear your servant curse you.
Sir? maybe he's a security man, maybe he's driver, maybe he's cook.
Don't Don't pay attention. These people are talking, they are just talking. You are passing, they are talking, and then before once they see you, they stop talking. See, I saw you with the other person the other day. What were you people discussing? Oh, it's nothing. He was just telling me about the football match. Now lie. It's not football match. You are their topic. And every time you go to the top, you will become a top pick. The only way you won't be a top pick is leave the top. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? So, don't bother ask. Oh, the man said you are such a wicked man that he asked you for money last time you didn't give him. What will you do about that situation now? He came to spoil your heart. He came to generate bitter. Don't bother with whatever they said. Just maintain your conscience to be void of offense between God and man. Do your best. Leave the rest. Everybody is entitled to their opinion. One day, Papa Yedeko said he was passing. In those days, I think they were still living in a town before Canaan land. He was passing around on a Kaja side, going on this kind of gossip, you know, before the internet. You know, this gossip magazine that they used to have, even in paper. Plenty with rubbish titles. It's plenty in Lagos, you know. So, one vendor brought a paper to him to buy. He said, I don't read newspaper. It's okay. What of this one? That one has papas. The whole back page was Papa Yedeko's picture. He said, this one has your picture. This one is talking about you. He said, I'm not interested still. You know what he said? He said, if it is me they are talking about, there is nothing about myself that I don't know. There's nothing about me that I need another person to tell me. I am aware. So no need to buy. Right? He could buy it and then model his heart. So just don't be struggling. They said this, they said that. I'm telling you, you will be shocked. People you have helped. People you bought car for. People you gave job to. People you signed things for. People you almost laid down your life for. You'll be shocked at what some people will do. And that is the hate generation we are talking about. So don't struggle to know. Just maintain your heart and be going. Look at your neighbor and say, come and be going. Avoid the eagerness to hear everything that is said about you. Number three, disconnect from talebearers and offense mongers. There are people whose job is to bear tale. In Proverbs chapter 18 and in verse 8, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. And they go down to the innermost parts of the belly or the heart. The talebearer wants to wound your heart by what he said he heard somebody say. Proverbs 26 and in verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire greater. So where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. Maybe the strife between a man and his wife is from a talebearer. Do you really trust that man? Mumu, be there. You don't know the man you are married to. And vice versa. Do you know that wife? That's your wife. That's your wife, eh? And before you know it, your heart is wounded. Talebearer. They are inside church, oh. There are plenty. They are the first to tell you about pastor's wife, about deacon this or that, about that usher, about that choir, about that head of department, about this. They are just there. On assignment for the devil. Satanic information officers. It's a good title. Satanic information officers. On assignment for the devil. Because anybody who wants to wound your heart with bitterness, which will take you to hell, is on an assignment for Satan. Somebody said that somebody was trying to say something. You know the way they normally do things online and just talk rubbish. So he told one person who was trying to get attention by such things that a person you are talking about has not read one thing that you wrote. The guy got disappointed. His face fell. What? He's not aware. You just wasted your effort. He's not aware. There is too much work, too much job. Sokoto Crusade, Asaba Crusade. We should have been in South America now. They said that there are some adjustments. Next year we should be in India, we'll be in Pakistan. And everywhere around the world, writing books, recording songs, doing all manner of things, and I should come and sit down like a jobless fellow. If there is any tailbearer in your life, shut him up. When we came to town, nearly under 1 year of ministry, my wife was still working in the hospital in zone five. One woman came to tell me about my wife. He said, your wife, this and that and that. I looked at her and said, you devil. I know my wife. You, I don't know. Out of the two of you, who should I believe? Who should I respond to? Nothing. Maybe somebody she met at, I don't know. If I see the person today, I don't know the person. How many of you will believe a stranger against the person you know from your childhood? You shot talebearers. You shot offense mongers. You shot them up on the spot. They say, I am here. To talk to you because I love you. Say yes. In your love. Pray about it. Keep it to yourself. And love me too much to spoil my heart. Love me too much to spoil my heart. Anything you want to do to make me begin to hate people is no longer love. You now hate me. Disconnect from talebearers. And I give only one exception. Exception is maybe where life is in danger. Where there is proven danger, that's your own life. And someone came to confirm to you that there is a plot or a plan confirmed where there is a physical, literal threat of danger to life. You can hear that one and take appropriate action. Do you understand what I'm saying? Confirmed. Threat. Danger. Where somebody's bitterness has gone to the point where they are now plotting your harm and somebody saw it and heard it. That is something to do something about. You know, for most laws, or almost every law, there are exceptions. Or where you are trusting a Satan and it is confirmed. That this is a Satan. And it is confirmed. You gave him the money, he took it to the native doctor to work against you. Somebody say loud amen. Number four, be possessed with a consuming vision, passion, and purpose for life. If you want to deal with toxic hate, the consequences of it, just ensure that you are possessed with a consuming vision, consuming passion, consuming purpose for life. That was what Joseph did. We saw Joseph's vision in Genesis 37 verse 5 to verse 9. When his brethren came later to apologize and to say, "We are sorry, we didn't mean any harm to you," he said, "Forget about it. I'm not thinking about that. I'm not thinking about that. Ask that you forgive me, and I receive the grace to forgive this person. Grace to forgive." Number six, disconnect from sources of bitterness and offense. Disconnect. Anybody, next time you come, say, "Receive it." All the time, all the time. You and your mother. Chai. You know what you will do? "Let me die of hunger if possible than to be connected to this source of money." Anything under heaven that undermines your life's worth and puts you in the position of pain and hate is not worth it. Even if it is a job, you can resign. When the worst gets to the worst, you become self-employed. But before you resign, you make demands on God for the way out, the next way, the next opportunity. Matthew 18:18. If your hand offend you, if your hand is a source of offense, cut it. 18:8. Cut it. It's better to enter heaven maimed. Wherefore, if your hand or your foot offend you, disconnect. Cut off means disconnect. Cast them from you. It's better for you to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet and be cast into everlasting fire. That's why before you marry, watch and pray. Because if you are married to offense, married to bitterness personified, that one hard to easily cut off. Very, very hard. Living under the same roof with a bitter, hateful person, seeking your downfall, mocking your failure. Just look very well. These days, people don't pray anymore. In those days, they tell us to seek the face of God for the will of God in marriage. That's how we're taught. Today, there's nothing like that. Nothing like that. Whosoever findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. So, go and be finding. There are some theologies like that. You know, you can take one verse of the scripture and make it to say anything you want. Hallelujah. Disconnect from sources of bitterness and offense. Even if it's a neighborhood where it is quarrel all the time, offense with landlord, landlord family, landlord, begin to look for another place. Begin to look for, it's not, you are not acting in fear. Some people say, I have a witch co-tenant. He has put my life under pressure. He's hating me all the time. But if I live there now, it's like I'm running for the witch. You are not running for the witch. You can go to another place and deal with the witch from a distance. That is, you are permanently under pressure. your life is permanently under pressure. Confrontation all the time. It's not worth it. Use that time to do another thing. There are things to do to spare. When we are in area one, every night vigil, especially during rainy season, my prayer is to prayer for those who need to be healed and delivered, and prayer for rain not to fall. Because people are sitting on the road everywhere. So my faith is divided. One, the rain should not fall, because, I mean, the area one church, then you have the whole road is, people are sitting and so. I say, let me reserve this prayer for rain. Let's move in a hurry to a bigger place where there is a roof covering thousands of people, and if rain fall, nobody's better. So I'm not praying against rain now. That same time is directed to something, to prayer for something more important. That same time. So instead of binding witch all the time, when you are coming from the office, you are binding the witch. You are going from the house, you are binding the witch. And the witch has not died yet. You have been praying for the witch. So, because they suffer not the witch to live, and the witch is not living. And the witch won't leave you alone. If you want God to judge the witch, still relocate. Do you understand what I'm saying? And be still praying for the witch from a distance. Because everyone must receive their reward. Lift up your right hand and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I receive deliverance from every agenda of hell in the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands and just pray to God 1 minute. 1 minute. I reject the consequences of toxic hate. I reject the consequences of toxic hate. In the name of Jesus, I receive freedom. I receive liberty. I receive freedom. I receive liberty right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, thank you. Adonai, thank you. Be thou glorified. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Finally, number seven. Now, today again, we're halfway. So this message will spill over to the blessing Sunday of next month. Number seven, make the choice to walk in love. Make the choice to walk in love. Mark chapter 12, verse 29 to verse 31. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than this. Make the choice to live. I will say a few things and then I'll conclude. Now, take two notes or three concerning love. Number one, 7a, that love is a choice, not a gift. Nobody will say that this one is gifted to love. No. We make the choice to love. Secondly, love is about action, not about emotion. Love is about action, not about emotion. Many people put love in the box of emotion. Oh, I just love. It's action. For God so loved the world, he felt something. No, he gave. Love is about action. And finally, if you mind the action, of many people, you lose your walk of love. If you mind the action of people, you will lose your walk of love. If you mind the action of certain people, as a matter of fact, you won't love anybody at all. You won't love. Because those you loved hated you in return. You understand what I'm saying? Those you love hated you in return. Those you raised tried to erase you. One pastor from America called me. We were talking. And he said, are there disloyal people? Do you people ever experience disloyalty of people you helped and raised and impacted, and then all of a sudden they did like you are nobody? Do you experience it in your country? I said it is universal. Even God experienced it. God raised Lucifer, he became a Satan. Because that one, his wife, left him and broke the church, his wife. And planted a church nearby. So just keep on loving. When next we meet, we'll talk about the practical details of loving. What love does in practicality. For every Judas Iscariot that wants to sell you, there is a John the Beloved that wants to die for you. Stand up on your feet. There is a John that will follow you to the foot of the cross. There is a John that will go all the way. So don't look at everybody that they are, like they are Judas. Everybody is not Judas. Everybody is not Judas. Everybody is not Judas. There are unfaithful betrayers, but there are faithful defenders. They will follow you, defend you till death. They will stand by you under all conditions. This is very important. If you mind the actions of people, you won't do good for anybody. Somebody say amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a believer's amen. Can you lift up your hands everywhere? Our time, I have just 2 minutes, 12 minutes to the end of the first service. Lift up your hands and give the Lord the praise tonight, today. Father, we worship you. Adonai, we love you. Mekadesh, we honor you. Be glorified. Be adored. Be worshipped. Be honored. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Adonai. In the name of Jesus, Ancient of Days, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Lift your two hands and say after me, say, Father.
Father.
I come before you today.
I come before you today.
I receive the grace.
I receive the grace.
To walk in love.
To walk in love.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Deliver me, Lord.
Deliver me, Lord.
From reactive.
From reactive.
Bitterness.
Bitterness.
In the name of Jesus,
help me to love
like you do.
In the name of Jesus,
open your mouth and pray right now. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, the Lord has heard and answered us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want to love and love. They are playing a song, and I like us to sing it. I want to love and love and love, Lord, like you do.
I'm here to praise you.
Everybody sing.
I want to love and love and love what like you do. For your capacity to love cannot run out.
You're never tired of caring for those you love.
I'm here to praise you for loving the way you sing.
I want to love and love and love the light you do. For your capacity to love cannot run out. You're never tired of caring for those you love. I'm here to praise you for loving the way
you do. Your love has made a difference.
Your love has made a world of difference in my life. I was the stone that was rejected by the world. But when you place your loving hands upon my life, you lifted me above the watch and wheel of death. Your love has made the world of difference in my life. I was the stone that was rejected by the world. But when you place you lifted me above the world and wheel of
death. I want to love.
I want to love and love and love like you do. For when you love someone, you love them all the way. You give the best. I want to thank you for loving the way you do.
Okay.
I want to love and love and love like you do. For when you love someone, you love them all the way. You give the best you have to all of that you love. I want to thank you for loving the way you do.
Your love has made a world of difference in my life.
I was a stone that was rejected by the world. But when you place your love in the hands of my life, you leave
that
thing above the world
that
will obey.
Your love has made a world of difference in my life.
I was the son that was rejected by the world. But when you placed your loving hand upon my life, you lifted me. You lifted me. You lifted me above the world and way of death.
Go ahead and lift up your voice and just ask him again for his hands of love, his touch of love, his visitation of love. Father, we give you the praise.
You are saying, Pastor, I want to be the way I used to be. Excited, smiling, laughing. I want my heart to be cleaned of bitterness. Again, like I said, you didn't come out last Sunday and you didn't come out the other Sunday. Maybe you are here for the first time. And you want to do so, you feel free to come. I want to be free completely of bitterness. I want to be free of the hurt, the pain of the hurt. I want to get my life back. As you come, come with your Bibles and come with your bag.
We have had people healed of hypertension, healed of migraine, healed of arthritis, all manner of things.
When they came out like this to receive forgiveness and to ask that they release the bitterness and the hurt in their heart. Once you come, you can go on your knees. Take that song again.
Your love has made the world of difference in my heart. I was the soul that was rejected by the world.
But when you bled, you know the hands upon my life. You take me upon the world.
Your love, your love, your love, your love has made the world of difference. In my life, I want.
was the son that was rejected by the world. You listen to me. The love you have not. The world of difference in my life. I was the son that was rejected by the world. Take the first part. I want to love. I want to love and love and love, love. For your capacity to love cannot run out. You're never tired of caring for those you love. I'm here to praise you for loving again. I want to love and love and love like you do. For your capacity to love cannot run out. You're never tired. Second verse. I want to love and love and love not like you do. For when you love someone, you love them all the way. You give the best you are to all. I want to thank you for loving me. Your love has made, your love has made a world of difference in my life. I was that son that was rejected by the world. But when you play, your love has made, your love has made a world of difference in my life. Everybody lift up your hands, including those that are on their knees right now. And say after me, say, Father. Say it, Lord, I say, Father, I receive deliverance.
I receive deliverance
from every negative effect.
From every negative effect
of hate.
Of hate.
Of offense.
Of offense.
Of my life.
Of my life.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Lord.
Lord.
I will be who you want me to be.
I will be who you want me to
be. I cannot be somebody else
because
of bitterness,
because of
hatred,
because of offense.
In the name of Jesus, I receive restoration
and recovery
today in the name of Jesus. And say after me, say, Father, I forgive.
I forgive.
I release
everyone
that has hurt me.
That has hurt
in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Go on ahead, open your mouth and pray. Jesus, precious name.
Amen.
Lift up your two hands, everyone. Those on your knees, you can stand up on your feet now. For when you lay upon my life, you lifted me above the world. And we love men. I see his loving hands coming upon you. And I see it becoming easy for you to release. Easy for you to forgive. Easy for you
to be the nice person you are meant to be, lift up your hand. You laid your hands. That is the. Go on ahead. Go ahead. You laid your hands. You laid your hands on me. On me, then things change. So lay your hands on me now. Lay your hands on me.
Oh Lord, I need your hands. Lift your hands everywhere you are. Let him lay his hands upon you right now and break every spell of bitterness and break the consequences of it and deliver from every hurt, every pain, every affliction. Mashadara. May no God.
Lay your hands upon me, Lord.
Your hands high. Father, let your hand come upon somebody. Let it wipe out every pain of hurt. Let it wipe out every toxin of bitterness. In the name of Jesus, are you ready? In the name of Jesus, one, two. When I say three, you scream and receive again. One, two, and three. Receive, receive, receive.
I give you the honor. I give you the adoration. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Adoration to your name.
Thank you for a change of story for someone here. Thank you for the clean out of this poison and toxin of bitterness. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Adoration. The glorified Lord. In Jesus' precious name.
I would ask everybody to go back to their seat, except those who want to actually make their ways right with God. You want God to forgive you your own sins. Remain in the front. Just remain standing. Apart from the fact that somebody hurt me, I want to give my life to God. I want to be totally born again. Remain standing. Don't go because others are going. Those who need to join us from the seats, also join us right now. This is altar call we are doing right now. Yes, remain in the front. Don't move back. I want to give my life to God. I want my sins forgiven. I want to be born again. Remain in the front. God bless you. Bless all of you that are in the front.
Lord, I
just a moment. Just a moment. Now, those that are in need of surrender to Jesus, you are in need of forgiveness for your sins. Anywhere you are in the congregation, I will need you to be in the front right here. Father, forgive me my sins. Make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. I want to be forgiven of addiction like that young man. Alcoholism, immoral life, masturbation, prostitution, gambling, fraud. Any form of lifestyle that you know God is not happy with, and you want to be free from such a life, quickly carry your Bibles and your bags and come forward. Go ahead now with us singing.
Lord, I give you my heart.
I give you the count of 10, 1,
I give you my soul.
2,
I live for you alone.
3, 4, 5, everybody see, I give you my heart, I give you my soul.
I live for you.
live for you alone. Every moment I'm away. Place your hand on your chest and pray after me this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today, it is my decision to follow you. No turning back. From today, I go forward ever, backward never. The grace to live for you, Lord, I receive it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray for you right now. I declare that the hold of the enemy be broken. Grace to live for God is released upon you. So shall it be. In Jesus' name, amen.